is where Tallahassee starts its day. It's the Greg Tisch Show, right here on Real Talk 93.3.
Sponsor this half hour, Grassroots Coffee, grassrootscoffee.com. Keg, egg, coffee tomorrow morning, Doak Sheridan Campbell Stadium. Make sure you get some Grassroots Coffee. Get their end zone blend. Smooth, chocolatey with a smooth, nutty, chocolatey, nice, gray coffee. That's what we have in the studio today for us. Joining us in studio, as he is every Friday, Brian Schmock, complete BS. I don't know why I'm stuck on absolute BS.
No, complete BS.
Complete BS. I know, and it even says on your hat. So last week, you're 0-1 with score predictions. I'm 1-0.
I've never been more happy to be wrong.
Right? I think so many people so happy to be wrong last week with choosing Alabama over Florida State. But East Texas A&M, the Lions, come in to Doak tomorrow. I don't think we're going to have much of a crowd or a big matchup.
No, I mean, I think the students will come out. They'll be out there early. They'll be there for the first half. I think things will
I think they'll show
out.
Up at the first at the end of the first half and then leave.
You know, I think everybody's still excited. They want to get out there. Of course, you know, noon games, they're not the best for fans.
Madison Social says it perfect. Noon games suck.
There you go. But I think the students are going to come out. They're excited. They went through this last year. They want to have a good time and get done, and they can head to Madison Social right after.
Excellent. All right, so what do we know about East Texas A&M?
Well, this is the first year that they're East Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. They used to be East Texas State. That's what they were known as. So first year rebranding East Texas A&M. They're in a last year of a four-year transition. So they used to be a Division II school. Now they're into FCS. So they've moved up a little bit, but they still kind of are getting their footing there. Clint Dozell is their head coach. You may know that name if you followed arena football. He's one of the 25 best players ever in arena football history. Threw for over 900 touchdowns in arena football.
Wow.
Second all time. So
for the I'm going to say for the Barnstormers, I don't –
No, he played for several different teams. Mm-hmm. He also coached in arena football, won two arena bowls with the Philadelphia Soul.
So we're going to have a high-powered offense.
He likes to throw the ball around. That's in his DNA. Last week against SMU, they had almost 400 yards of offense.
And they got – what are they just struggling the – okay, I see the score. They didn't score until the end of the game.
42-13.
They just struggle in the red zone? Or
six trips to the red zone. Came away with one touchdown, two field goals. They didn't convert when they had opportunities. They're going to move the ball. They're going to throw. So, you know, Florida State fans, don't get too nervous if you see them kind of moving up and down the field a little bit. You just got to keep them out of the end zone. I think we've got too many athletes. SMU last week, they won 42-13. For me, this is a really good measuring stick because SMU is considered one of the top three or four teams in the conference. Now Florida State's in that conversation. How do we match up against a common opponent?
And they had two INTs return for scores. SMU did. They had a 95-yard interception return and also a 10-yard interception return. So with East Texas A&M liking to throw, look for those INTs.
Absolutely.
There's no line on this.
No, I mean,
I kind of wanted what I was going to put down for my squad to go big, but I also want, I like what I'm putting down just because I don't think that our starters will play the entire game.
Yeah. That's ideally what you mm-hmm. want. In a game like this, so no line typically when you're playing FBS versus FCS. You want to get in. Stay healthy, have your starters get some good reps, and hopefully get them out either at halftime or one series into the second half. That's what good teams do. That's something that I'm going to be looking for. Can we get a good, comfortable lead and get those starters out, get the younger guys some experience? You know, personally, I want to see what Brock Glenn's going to do. I want to see what Kevin Sperry's going to do. Some of the younger wide receivers. Everybody's one injury away from having to be a starter. So games like this are important for getting additional time, real game reps against somebody other than your teammates in practice. I like a higher scoring game also. I've got Florida State 52 East Texas A&M 16.
Okay, that's similar to what the other Brian had. Brian Cerny has 56-14 and just texted, I'll take it, and 35-7. And you can call in with your scores, 850-386-8255. Mine 45-3.
Wow, one field goal, huh?
Yeah, I think that, but I've already written it down, and I knew I should have waited till I talked to you. Because if they're a run and gun, you know, type offense, they're going to catch somebody napping.
They played two quarterbacks last week. They're going to play two quarterbacks again, I'm sure. You got to account for some garbage time scores. We might have third or fourth string guys. We might even have a walk-on in late in the game where somebody gets loose and gets a touchdown late. So, or just gets down into the red zone. We stop them then. We tighten up and kick that extra field goal.
That they had a let's see, when is East Texas their score? Touch a 1 yard run, so they didn't have like a big. SMU had some good passing. They had a lot of good passing yards.
Yeah, and we're gonna keep running the ball. Yeah. That's gonna be our identity this year. I'm looking for a 300-yard rushing game. I think Chroma real potential for over 100 yards himself. Tommy's going to get some runs in there in the first half and then get him out of the game. See Gavin Sawchuk, Sam Singleton, some of the other running backs in there getting some touches. But Chroma's going to start it off, I believe. And this is a 300-yard rushing day for the team.
So looking at, I'm going back to the SMU, Texas, East Texas A&M stats. These stats are pretty close.
Absolutely.
Total yards for SMU, 400. Total yards for the Lions, 351. Passing yards, Lions, 244. Mustangs, 260. Rushing yards, Lions, 107. Rushing yards, Mustangs, 140. Yards per play, SMU, 6.3. East Texas A&M, 4.5. So SMU's a good team. Supposed to be a good team.
Absolutely.
I mean, the final score doesn't look like it was that close.
No, SMU is ranked in the top 25. In my poll, I've got them ranked 15th. They're going to move. East Texas A&M is going to move the ball. Expect that. This is not going to be somebody that's going to go three and out every time. Now, one of the things about the style of offense is they throw it. You know, old football coaches will tell you when you throw the ball, three things can happen and two of them are bad. Interception, incompletion. So you can get some of those three and outs going, but they're going to throw, they're going to move the ball. You're going to get yards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I should have looked up the stats. I just blindly won everything. I mean, because those stats, that's, well, I don't know. Now, Jason, now you haven't said your score.
42-14. I give him two touchdowns, yeah.
Okay, 42-14. Okay, got you down. All right, JT. All right.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun game. There's a couple other good games at noon. I know you mentioned then the night game with Michigan-Oklahoma. Michigan.
That's gonna be loud down in Norman.
Michigan's the underdog, but I've got them pulling the upset, 30-28.
Yeah, but you're a homer.
But now there's rationale behind this.
Okay.
So Michigan's coach, Sherrone Moore,
mm-hmm.
He went to Oklahoma. He was an offensive lineman there. Next week and the week after, he's serving a 2-game suspension for some off-the-field stuff back in 2013 with the Connor Stallion stuff. This is Michigan rallying around their coach. We're going to get you the win.
Okay.
We're going to get you the win in your home stadium that you played at before you're gone with us for 2 weeks. Michigan's got balance with their passing game and their running game. Oklahoma, John Mateer, their quarterback, he's going to throw for a ton of yards. They don't have a ground game. John Mateer's their best running option also. I think Michigan's balance and just wanting to get one for their coach, they're going to pull the upset tomorrow night.
Okay.
You heard it here.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that game. You know, go blue.
I might have fired my Hard Rock bet app on that one.
Right, let's see. Stanford, BYU playing. I get BYU in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State, Boston College.
I like Michigan State at home. That one's going to be a close game. Both are mediocre football teams.
That's in North Lansing is where Jason says they play.
Come on. East Lansing, Jason. This is Sparty.
I'm not a Michiganer.
Michigander.
Michigander.
Yeah, Michigander. I like Michigan State in that one. Vandy and Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, they looked lazy and off last week against South Carolina from the SEC. Vandy's going to get them. Another SEC loss.
Okay. I like Vandy. Not just because I'm a homer with them, being born in Nashville, but I like Vandy on that. Miami Bethune, Miami.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cal and I can't even read that helmet. I have no idea who they're playing, but everybody picked Cal, so I'm going with Cal. Georgia Tech looks like they're playing North Carolina A&T, so North Carolina A&T. And then I don't know who Clemson's playing either, but everybody's picking Clemson. It's not Temple.
I don't know.
Oh, it's Troy. They're playing Troy.
And Gators, USF.
That's going to be a hell of a game, 4 o'clock tomorrow.
I like the Gators. USF's going to keep it close. USF always plays the Miami, Florida, Florida State teams tough. Gators will get it done.
We'll continue our conversation and talk a little college football. Brian Schmock, you can continue to call in your scores during the break, 850-386-8255.
It's the Greg Tisch Show on Real Talk 93.3. 850-386-8255. Welcome back to the Greg Tisch Show.
Sponsor this half hour, Grassroots Coffee at grassrootscoffee.com. If you're looking for some fantastic coffee to help your mornings or your morning tailgating tomorrow, look no further than Grassroots Coffee and grassrootscoffee.com. If you haven't ordered from them before, sign up for their newsletter. Get 15% off your first order, complete BS.
Sir.
No, that's what Brian would say. Brian Schmock in with us as we're talking a little college football. We've got our predictions, and you can get your prediction in 850-386-8255, 850-386-8255. Get your score prediction in for the East Texas A&M Lions versus Florida State Seminoles tomorrow. And we're going to be talking with Howdy Lisenby from Commerce, Texas, later on to learn more about the town behind the team.
Howdy, Mr. Lisenby.
How do I greet him? Howdy, howdy. Hey, howdy. Yeah. Hello. Hello, howdy.
Hey, howdy. I like hey, howdy.
Hey, howdy. Hello. Or hey, howdy.
Howdy squared.
So we're starting, this new segment where the get to know the towns behind the teams.
Very nice. Because
that Commerce, Texas is a college town. That they have 12,000 students in a town where 9,000 people live. So it is very much a college town, but I want to know more about Commerce. And next week we'll talk with somebody from Kent, Ohio.
Okay.
So it'll be a lot of fun.
Commerce, that's just outside Dallas, kind of a suburb?
I think everything's out. No, this is, they're kind of way out there, okay. Like 60, 70 miles. Okay. Howdy will tell us.
There you go.
How far. I don't think he'd just throw in, we're this far outside of Dallas. All right. So another game that is interesting on the slate, Nooner. This is probably the big noon. Illinois and Duke.
Yeah.
Are they playing in North Carolina or are they playing in Illinois?
Playing at Duke.
Okay. So there should be a good 15,000 people there.
Absolutely.
Packed.
So, fun little trivia here for you. The Rose Bowl has played one time.
World War II.
East of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Where at?
Duke.
Absolutely.
Yep. Wow.
1942. It was Duke, I believe Oregon State. They were worried about a Japanese attack. So they moved the stadium. They moved the game
to Duke.
Cool. Yeah. Never knew that.
Yeah. If you watch the movie 1941, the Steven Spielberg flop that dealt with all that, with people worrying about the submarines, there was a panic going on in California that Japanese subs were going to come and fire off, attack everything, or that they were going to come and pull the Pearl Harbor on Los Angeles in the area. So they moved the Rose Bowl game. There.
To Wallace Wade.
Because also you have to remember that just a month prior is when Pearl Harbor happened.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So December 7th, 1941, Rose Bowl game 1942, January 1st, moved out to Duke.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with Duke, with their logo, with their D, I don't know what's in the middle of their D. It's kind of like a pentagon, not a pentagon, but there's some kind of like crystal shape in the middle. I've never understood that.
Hmm. I'll ask a buddy of mine and get you the answer. I've got a good friend who's a assistant athletic director for marketing for Duke. So
okay.
What
does their D logo mean? Hmm. I like their script on their helmet, but no, they've gone just to the D.
Yeah, that's right.
On that.
But they're the Blue Devils.
They're the Blue Devils, yeah. And but I like it. Illinois needs to come out and make some noise. Some noise. No S. But Duke just always seems to start strong.
So
this could be a good game.
Duke's got a transfer quarterback in from Tulane, Darian Mensah. You know, this is reported, not confirmed, but they say that he's signed a two-year, $8 million NIL deal. $4 million a year, one of the highest-paid players in college football. Illinois had a lot of balance last week with Luke Altmyer in their ground game. I think this is something that could be a shootout, a game potentially in the 40s, but I like Duke to get – I'm sorry, I like Illinois to get one more stop. Illinois's got an outstanding outside linebacker, Gabe Akis, get one more stop. That's what it's going to come down to, and I like Illinois.
Okay. We'll watch the highlights because nobody's going to be watching that in Tallahassee. Nobody's going to be watching in North Carolina either. North Carolina, speaking of that, let's stay with them. That's going to be a mess with what happened. Well, one, what the hell is Belichick's girlfriend doing on the sideline?
Right?
I don't understand that. Like, Bill, he is somebody that always has just a tight leash on everything. There's reports out this
Except
week.
Her.
Exactly. That he won't allow New England scouts
to come
to the team. And there's multiple times where there's no access allowed. You can't speak to any coaches if you're an NFL scout. So he keeps this tight bubble, but then she has free rein on the sidelines and talking to him in pregame. Like,
That's with somebody from North Carolina in the administration with the UNC boosters going, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We hired him.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Not Instagram model.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting situation.
She had a nice outfit on.
If I were a North Carolina fan,
I would be so mad.
It's just very cringy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation.
And then getting your ass kicked.
He's a phenomenal football coach.
Is he?
He is.
What's he done good without Tom Brady?
8 Super Bowl wins, right?
Yeah. No. What's he done good without Tom Brady?
I mean, He put Brady in those positions, and they had some really good defenses with the Patriots.
I'm just saying, I'm a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
And I've been a Patriots fan before the Tommy era. And when Tommy left, Billy wasn't good anymore. All of a sudden, he couldn't coach. And I think that he is not going – I don't think he will finish the season at UNC.
Wow.
You know, I tried to give it a good run, and you know, I'm very happy right now, but I'm retiring.
I think he'll finish the year, but I don't know if he'll be back next year.
How old is he now? 98, 99?
73, 4? It's going to be a short run there. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That was like with, what's our guy? That FSU coach or FSU player that was up there. Butch. Not Butch. Who was the coach right before?
Jimbo?
No, at UNC.
Oh, at UNC.
I'm completely blanking.
He went to Florida State.
Oh, Mack Brown.
Mack Brown, who would have been a great replacement after Bobby.
Yeah.
That I thought Mack would have done great, but Mack went back to North Carolina when he was past his coaching prime.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of recycle. You got another old coach past their prime in there. He gives you the name, but that's all you're getting right now. And you got his son as a defensive coordinator who's never really done anything outside of being with his dad. I think last year he was at Washington, and Washington had a horrible defense last year.
We'll see. All right. Well, we can't wait. Tomorrow noon, Florida State, East Texas A&M. It used to be Texas A&M Commerce is what they used to be. And then they were East Texas State.
Yep.
And now they've settled on even more confusing East Texas A&M.
It's confusing, all right.
All right, keep calling your score predictions through the break, 850-386-8255, 850-386-8255. You know that an Oregon State kicker didn't get to play in a game back then because he was Japanese heritage?
Oh, wow.
They sent him to an internment camp?
Wow.
Different world.
It was, wasn't it?
Crazy. Thanks, Eric, for that. Be right back.